भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय शुश्रुषो शब्दधानस्य वासुदेव कता रुचिः श्यान्महत्सेवया विप्राः पुण्यतीर्थ निषेवनात्. O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva.
Shrinvatam svakatah krishnah punyashravanakirtanah hridayantastohyabhadrani vidunoti suhritsatam.
Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted.
Nashta prayeshva bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki.
By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact.
तदा रजस्तमो भावाः कामलोबादयश्च ये चेत एतैर् अनाविद्धं सितं सत्वे प्रसीदति.
As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy.
Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogatah bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate.
Thus, established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association.
Vidyate hridaya grantesh chidyante sarva samshayah kshiyante chasya karmani drishta evatmanishvare.
Thus, the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
Ramana Tira Vamatari Ramana Tira Jaya Radha Madhava Kundali Hari Jaya Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Hare. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
Om Vishvadaya Krishna Krishna Gurudeva Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Namane Namaste Saraswati Gauravani Prasadane
Shesha Shunyavadi Pashtachare Chatadane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasti Vavakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Shrink Ram Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 Chapter 85, verse 7. Kantis teja prabhav sakta. Kandar agnya ark arksha vidyatam. Yat stariya bhu bratam bhumer. Vritir gand ortato bhava.
Kanti, attractive glow, teja, brilliance, prabha, luminosity, satta, particular existence, chandra, of the moon, agni, fire, arka, sun, oriksha, stars, vidyutam, and lightning, yat, which, staryam, permanence. Bhubhritam, of the mountains, Bhume, of the earth, Vritti, quality of sustaining, Kanda, fragrance, Artata, in truth, Bhavan, yourself. Translation: the glow of the moon, the brilliance of fire, the radiance of the sun, the twinkling of the stars, the flash of lightning, the permanence of the mountains, and aroma as the sustaining power of the earth, all these are actually you. Purport: Sri Vasudev, in telling Krishna he is the essence of the sun, moon, stars, lightning, and fire, is only creating the powers or the opinion of scripture, both Shruti and Smriti. The Svetasvata Upanishad, for example, states Tatra Suryo Bhati Na Chandra Karakam Nema Vidyuto Bhanti Kutoyam Agni Tam Eva Bhantam Hanu Bhati Sarvam Tasya Bhasha Sarvam Idam Vibhati. There in the spiritual sky, the sun does not shine, nor does the moon, nor the stars, or lightning as we know them, what to speak of the ordinary fire. It is by the reflection of the spiritual skies that falls, everything else gives light, and thus, through its radiance, this entire universe becomes luminous. And in Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Lord says, Yad aditya gatam te jo jagat vasaya te tuam. Chandramasi Yachagnao Tattejo Vidi Mamakam. The splendor of the sun, which dissipates the darkness of this whole world, comes from me, and the splendor of the moon and the splendor of fire also come from me. My Lord, you are water, and also its taste, and its capacity to quench thirst and sustain life. You exhibit your potencies through the manifestation of the air as bodily warmth, vitality, mental power, physical strength, endeavor, and movement. You are the directions and their accommodating capacity, the all-pervading ether and the elemental sound residing within it. You are the primeval, unmanifested form of sound, the first syllable om and audible speech by which sound as words acquires particular references. Purport: in accordance with the general process of creation, speech always becomes audible in stages which proceed from subtle inner impulse to outer expression. These stages are mentioned in the mantras of the Rig Veda: Chatvari Vak Parimita Padani Tani Vidur Brahmana Yemanishana Guhayam Trini Nihitani Nengayanti Turiyam Avacho Manusya Vadanti. Discriminating Brahmanas know of four progressive stages of language. Three of these remain hidden within the heart as imperceptible vibrations, while the fourth stage is what people ordinarily understand as speech. You are the power of the senses to reveal their objects. The senses presiding demigods and the sanction these demigods give to sensory activity. You are the capacity of the intelligence for decision making and the living being's ability to remember things accurately. Purport: Sri Vishnu Chakravarti points out that whenever one of the material senses is involved with its object, the presiding demigod of that particular sense organ must give his sanction. Acharya Vishnu Chakravarti explains the word anusmriti in this verse in its higher sense as one's recognition of himself as an eternal spirit soul. So here we have a whole list of elements and other things. We have similar lists in the Bhagavad Gita and of course in other literatures like the Upanishads as well, in which the Lord is identified with the different elements of material nature and their different qualities. In one sense, the Lord is these things because, as previously stated, the Lord is Pradhan. He is the material cause of everything. Simultaneously, he's also the efficient cause, Nimitta, So he's the one that causes material nature to act. So he's one with material nature. He's also different from it. So thus, if we say the Lord is water and the Lord is fire and air and ether, etc., it's not a contradiction in one sense, but we also understand that this is not a limitation on the Lord, that he is actually just fire or just air, material elements, because he's much more than that. But he also is these various things because they are his Shakti. Of course, it's a inferior Shakti, Maya Shakti. Nevertheless, it is also Supreme Lord. So this has a function for us in the material world. In the spiritual world, they don't have to concern themselves with material elements at all, because they see automatically everything in the spiritual world is spiritual and related to the Lord. Here in the material world, yes, it's related to the Lord, but indirectly, because it's the Maya Shakti, the Bahiranga Shakti of the Lord. So when we look at it in a conditioned state, we don't see it connected with the Lord at all. We see it disconnected from the Lord, quite separate from the Lord. From the Lord's point of view, there's no problem. From our point of view, this is a big problem. Because we see everything separate from the Lord, we don't recognize the Lord at all, and we become completely absorbed in this material energy. So a way of getting us away from this conception that every material elements are completely independent is to understand that they're aspects of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, we have these statements, you are the water and the earth and the fire and the ether and whatever, and the mind and intelligence, false ego. You're all of these different things. To indicate that the Lord is ultimately the manifester of these things, the controller of these things, and they belong to him ultimately. He does what he wants with them. So previously it was stated that everything comes from the Lord, is in the Lord, is by the Lord, is for the Lord, etc. So this again is an aspect of that. And of course we have the thing, the Lord is everything.
So this type of statement is therefore people of lower qualification, lesser realization.
And through such meditations or thoughts, then they can understand something of the nature of the Supreme Lord. He pervades everything. He controls everything. He is in everything, etc. And by that we can appreciate, one, his superior power to be everywhere, right? And also we can appreciate something of his qualities, because the elements act as they act. We can understand something of the intelligence of the Supreme Lord. He's made water have a certain quality of taste, or he gives earth the fragrance, or he gives sound, ether, quality of sound. So this is some arrangement of the Supreme Lord, that things have particular qualities. So we see that the elements are there, manifested through Prakriti by the Supreme Lord, and particular elements manifest particular qualities. And it's through these qualities, or the sense objects, that we actually get our enjoyment in the material world. We get taste and smell and form. This is how we perceive things, get knowledge, and we enjoy in the material world. So the Lord has arranged the material world in such a way that we can get some enjoyment out of matter, which we shouldn't, because it's inert. But it has these sense objects attached to it, and these senses, and the senses get together by the devatas,
They work to do that. And then we get their sense of enjoyment out of that. Yeah? So, therefore, the eye has that capacity to see. And what does it see? It sees forms. And through that we get knowledge and we get enjoyment. And there's a devata there to help us see properly. All this is the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. So in terms of all of our different senses, our ability to perceive and get our enjoyment out of these different things is arrangement of the Supreme Lord ultimately. So if we cannot directly appreciate the spiritual form, qualities, and activities of the Lord, first we start with by appreciating the Lord in relation to the material world. So one, we state that He is the creator of the material world. So in this sense we get, He's more powerful than anything in the material world. Because that we know and we accept the material world, so that we accept somebody controls the material world and creates it. In this way we can understand something of the power of the Supreme Lord. And then when we come to these different elements in the material world, we can realize through this the Lord creates or manifests these different objects, which have, say, material qualities. Through this, we can ultimately appreciate that the Lord has other spiritual qualities, spiritual powers to manifest, spiritual form, spiritual taste, spiritual sound, etc. He manifests everything in the material world. Why not spiritual world also? So as a step towards that, we just appreciate the Lord, how He manages the material world and its sense objects, etc., and whatever. And from that, as we progress, then we can accept the idea that it's a spiritual world with spiritual elements, spiritual qualities, spiritual experience, spiritual knowledge, etc. But on a or not just an abstract Brahman. So by listing all these things, of course, very subtly, we also understand that the Supreme Lord is real, and the material world is real, and He is the real creator of a material world. In other words, it's not saying this is all illusory. He's actually the Lord exists, and material world exists, and they're related to each other as the controller of the material world, and the material world is His Shakti. So in this way we get an understanding of the Lord as endowed with all different Shaktis by which He manifests the material world, the spiritual world, and the Jivas. So we have a whole series of statements here which are ultimately a praise for Krishna. But we see this is all, we see all of Vasudeva's statements here are in terms of Krishna's relation to the material world, which is actually very secondary. Because we see in Vrindavan, nobody even mentions all of this. But we have Vasudeva making a whole description here, recognizing the Supreme Lord, how He's the creator of the material world, controls it, and He's permeating everything in the material world. This is one way in which we can appreciate the Lord, but it's also not the highest way. So the highest way is to that we establish a relationship with the Supreme Lord. And that gives rise to sweetness of various degrees. So Vasudeva is a combination. He appreciates the power aspect and something the sweetness, because he also has a relationship with Krishna as his father, and he sees Krishna as his son. So he has a mixed type of relationship there. In Vrindavan, they just see the sweet aspect and they don't give regard to the powerful aspect of the Supreme Lord, even though it is true. For us, doing sadhana,
we do have to recognize the supreme position of the Lord with everything else, just as people who are less advanced, they have to meditate on the universal form, etc., to see that there's the Lord within material nature. And then we have verses like this, which actually have a whole chapter 10 of Bhagavad Gita dedicated to saying Krishna saying, I am the mountain, I am the Makara, and I am the Aswata tree, and I am this and I am that, just to give us an understanding that he has qualities, something like the qualities of the material world, but obviously different as well, and that he's the controller of everything. So that's, of course, a more primitive type of understanding of the Supreme Lord. And as we get advanced, then we can take out the spiritual aspects. So in one sense, we could say this is for the less advanced devotees that Vasudeva is making these statements. Nevertheless, it's always necessary, as doing sadhana, that we do recognize the Supreme Lord in a completely separate position from everyone else, and that positions cannot change. The jivas can never become the Supreme Lord, or whatever. We cannot change their positions at all. Therefore, we have some preliminary knowledge that we have to accept in sadhana, no matter what type of sadhana we do. So that we call someone again. Of relation to the Lord, material nature, jiva, and how they relate to each other. So, what is the relationship ultimately? Lord, he is independent, and everything else depends on him. So matter depends on him, jivas depend on him, spiritual world depends on him. Everything depends on Supreme Lord. So we make a distinction between ourselves as jivas and Supreme Lord. And that is the basis of bhakti. Once we get that knowledge, of course, and we accept our position, we can establish various types of relationships with the Lord. And that relationship may be such that it becomes more predominant. So now the sweetness of the relationship predominates over his powerful aspect, understanding he's the independent Supreme Lord. So when that's in his highest form, we have the people of Vrindavan, who are called the Ragatmaka Bhaktas. They don't see Krishna in terms of how he is powerful. And in Dwarka, we see Vasudeva, and he understands this and is quite prominent among the Yadus. But they do have a relationship with the Lord Krishna also. And then where we get more prominence of the powerful aspect, that is in Vaikuntha. It's definitely part of the basis of bhakti, but at the same time, where the relationship becomes very sweet, the sweetness of the relationship often covers up this type of realization of Krishna's powers.
The jnanendriyas, karmendriyas are controlled by the mind, and the mind is under the control of the atma. So it makes the human being think that he is under the control of everything. Everything is controlled by him. The human being thinks, the soul thinks that he is controlled, because the jnanendriyas, karmendriyas are controlled by mind, mind is controlled by the soul. So they think that they are the ultimate boss of everything and try to control the entire world. This gives a thought of non-existence of God. How do you negate this thought?
Well, of course, the Atma has a transformation with Ahankara, and he thinks in terms of his body. So when he thinks, I am doing this or I am controlling this, he's actually his body. I am the body, and my body is controlling it. So it's not pure Atma realizing himself and controlling everything. It's mixed up with his bodily conception. And then the body has got senses, and the senses get knowledge and material knowledge and material enjoyment. And so the person thinks, I am enjoying. So this is forgetfulness of the Lord. To the extent we have our senses operating under ahankara, then we are bound up in the material world in a conditioned state.
in ignorance, and we create karma for ourselves. So the solution is that we start transforming that, but we need the Atma to at least have some conviction in the Supreme Lord. So that is called faith. That's the qualification to begin the process of bhakti. Yeah. So we say that's a little bit of knowledge. The jiva gets some correct knowledge in the very beginning. Based on that, then the jiva begins to do devotional activities, bhakti yoga. And this gradually removes the ignorance until there is zero ignorance and the devotee has prema. So the real process of removing the ignorance of the material world is through the process of bhakti.
And you say about vibhuti yoga, I am the sun god, I am the Ganges. So some people may think that sun is also Lord's expansion, let me worship sun. Will they get the same benefit? So they are on the way to progress to Krishna consciousness or this?
Yeah, of course we can say, well, let me worship, since the Lord is everything and pervades everywhere, let me go worship the rock, or let me worship the grass, or let me worship dog, or whatever, they're all. Yeah. And of course, that's one conception, yes. The Lord is spread everywhere. He's the Paramatma in all creatures, so we respect the Lord everywhere, in the dog, and in the cow, and in the chandala, and in the brahmana. Yes, the Lord is everywhere, and we see equally. But there are also, according to scriptures, if we want to follow scriptures, there are prescribed ways in which we can raise our consciousness upwards. With primitive level, yes, you can say, okay, yes, yes, we can meditate on Krishna in Mount Meru, or in the ocean, or in the stars, or in the sun, etc. Yes, it's also there because that's his power. But we can't stop there. And we have to recognize that he's not just that, he's the power behind that. Yes, and we, from this we can realize something of the power of the Lord and the qualities of the Lord. And then we go to the universal form. From universal form, then we get to the Vishnu form, creator of the material world, Paramatma, etc. So that's higher. And then finally we get to Bhagavan. So it's definitely okay at one level, but we have to go higher than that and progress upward until we get to the concept of Bhagavan. Then we're doing bhakti.
Maybe they're not seeing the creator. Like in the middle world, we see a product, like scientific product. They see the mobile phone, they don't see the creator of the mobile phone. So they're very awed and think that, oh.
Well, yeah. So we can appreciate material nature apart from everything else. Just the beauty of, okay, it's very nice sunset or very nice weather out, or sun is very powerful, and we don't connect to anything at all. That also is better than nothing. Then we get a little more higher, and we say so-called primitive people, then they worship the deity of the sun behind the sun, the deity of the ocean behind the ocean, whatever, and do that sort of thing. And that's a little bit of a higher conception, and at least they give respect to the material elements that way, so that some idea of higher power is there, so that's a little better. Then we have to come to the other realization of supreme power of Lord, that he's actually different from all of these devatas and their powers and their control over material nature. But that requires usually some assistance. We don't get that realization on our own. So that's why we require scripture and devotees to give us proper knowledge. Otherwise, we're very confused about knowledge in the material world, what to accept and what not to accept.
What about those categories that they only worship the Supreme Lord, but they don't respect this creation? They pollute the rivers, they dig mountains and rape homes.
Well, we can say that's partial respect for the Lord. It's in one sense, they say they respect the Lord, but they don't really respect his plan. So it's not real respect. It's, we can say it's... No, words. They're using words, but they don't give proper respect. Well, so vaikari is the words that we hear. Ultimately, para is the spiritual sound, but we can't hear that sound with a material ear. So sound goes through four stages. A very, very subtle, that's a spiritual sound. Then it becomes a little bit grosser, and we can say mentally we can detect it a little bit, fine, there's something there. And then when we can start thinking about it more intellectually and analyze it, oh, it's like it means something, etc., and this means this sound means that or whatever, that's the next level. And finally, we say the word. That's the manifested called Vaikari sound. So it has a very subtle aspect, and then it has levels, three levels, gradually grosser and grosser until we actually can say the word and hear the word, and we understand, oh, that means cow, or that means bull or tree or whatever like that. So that's called Vaikari sound. So it goes to these four stages. And the same thing for spiritual sound. But the spiritual sound, when it becomes Vaikari, is very special, because actually it doesn't lose its spiritual quality. Underneath that, what looks like material sound, when we hear a sound like Krishna's name go in the ear with material air and eardrum, etc., actually the spiritual sound is still there. So it's that spiritual sound that gives a special effect of mantra and the name of the Lord.
Sometimes we see that some sound is too loud, that also sound is produced, but we are not able to understand what is this. But what do you call it? Is it? It's under some term, you know. We say Vaikarika, we hear and we understand. Correct? Vaikari. But above the Vaikari, anything is there that what we don't understand?
Some sounds don't have any meaning at all. It's random sounds in the material world. So when they talk about the four stages of sound, they actually mean words that have meaning. And we can hear them. Yeah. Not just any old random sound. Of course, we can take random sounds and make meaning out of them also by organizing them properly. Or by, you know, saying, this will mean that, three means that, four means this. So we can give meanings to sound randomly also, random sound. But then it starts getting meaning. But just regular sound, the sounds of things in the material world, whatever, that's not considered to be the same. We're talking about words and meaning. Actually, sound means that which gives some concept, so it gives us knowledge. That's real sabda, sound.
Sound form.
Well, they have para. They have spiritual sound in them. They're spiritual sound. We have material words, so that's a material level. No spiritual aspect, but their words, their sound, you know, material literature gives material knowledge. But then we have spiritual sound, spiritual potency in that. That's the scriptures, name of the Lord, mantras. Oh.
Don't make noise.
Yes, it's noise.
What is the role of mind in understanding this subtler form of sound? Mind is only material.
Well, actually, the spiritual aspect, only the soul can do that. It's not the mind, it's the soul. The mind can pick up the other aspect, the second and the third aspect. And then your gross senses pick up the fourth aspect, that is audible sound.
During kirtan, when the sound is too loud, some people get irritated. They close their ears.
Yeah.
So it should be palatable and smooth and
maybe we can say there the material sound is mixing with it. The loudness of the material sound is there, that maybe it's got a negative effect.
Have you seen sometimes people who are having stress and a lot of problem in the mental, they feel like shouting too much?
Huh?
When somebody has stress problem, they shout and they release this stress by shouting. Or maybe that during kirtan, because to release our stress, we shout in the kirtan. Chant loudly.
Possibly, then that's material.
I saw one devotee from Africa in Mayapur. He was chanting, facing the column in a temple, loudly. I asked him, why? I'm releasing my stress out.
But at the same time, Prabhupada has recommended that the Mahamantra should
Well, we have kirtan, that's audible, And then we have Upamsu, which is semi-audible. Only we can hear it. And then we have Manasik, which is in the mind. Three levels of sound. That's, of course, for mantras particularly.
But building spiritual relationship is it more easier than building material relationships?
Huh?
Building spiritual relationship with the devotees and Krishna, is it more easier than building material relationships?
Well, if we're advancing spiritually, it's easier. If we're not advanced spiritually, it would be very difficult to establish spiritual relationships.
It's mutual, Maharaj.
If we develop spiritual relationships, then automatically material relationships should also be okay. It should be taken care of.
Both sides, Maharaj. No? If there are two devotees, just not one who develops relationship, it should be mutual. Even the other should be willing to develop
this. Sure.
Even with Krishna, it's like that, Maharaj. Even with Krishna, it's easier.
Huh?
Building relationship with Krishna is more easier than compared to the material relationships.
Well, it's perfect. So there's no faults in that relationship. So then, in that sense, it's much better. And because Krishna is the perfect person, he can respond perfectly. In material world, even if we're devotees, we're covered over, so we may not have proper responses. But with Krishna, no, he's completely uncovered and completely free.
Really, human relations are based upon expectations. When something is not coming to expectations, they have some sort of likes and dislikes. So that may not give a good relationship. So how we avoid that sort of expectations? Expecting somebody.
Well, that's all material. So as long as we're material, then we're going to have problems in those relationships. So if we're cultivating spiritual relationship with Krishna, obviously we have to give up all that. And even with devotees, again, the same thing applies. We can't have those material expectations. That's simply a reflection of our material character and qualities.
For satisfaction of the Lord, sometimes he gets upset when he's not glorified for the service he has performed by the Lord. He gets upset. Lord, in the community of devotees, it is not glorified. Oh, I am not glorified. Others are glorified. Ultimately, Lord is to be glorified. Why the individual wants glorification?
Well, of course, we say that the devotee, he gives all respect to others and does not expect respect for himself. That's the quality of the devotee. Of course, devotees like to glorify other devotees, but the individual devotee does not like that glorification in general. So. That should be the quality. If he's craving glorification, then that is anartha, pratishtha.
In devotee relationship, it's just always not material, Maharaj. There are always spiritual expectations.
What's that?
The expectations between a couple of devotees, it is not always material. It's also possible of a spiritual expectation between each other.
What's a spiritual expectation? I suppose since it's supposed to be a haituki or causeless in relation to Krishna, then we're expecting the other devotee to help us advance to have causeless devotional service. That's maybe the only expectation we could have there.
The Bhagavad Gita was the 10th chapter, and other chapters also there is some explanation regarding these kind of things, you know, this vibhuti. So can you take this vibhuti as a material?
Many of them are. The water and whatever, these are material things. Some of them are spiritual or devotees. He also has devotees in there among them. And then he also has spiritual things. I think even Balarama is in there one place. So some are spiritual, but most of them are material things in this material world. But things that we can easily identify with, so we can meditate on the Lord and those objects.
So this is material because of temporary manifestation or some other cause?
Well, a tree is a tree, and a water is water, a fish is a fish. So.
Like a sun is sitting here in the sun.
Because it's material.
Because
it's like universal form is also material elements.
Yeah.
It's related to the Lord, but it's also material.
No, my question, why is this material? Is it because of temporary manifestation or something else?
Well, it's material because it's made out of material elements. Fish is made out of material elements.
Uh-huh.
Tree is made out of material elements. It's not a spiritual form, it's a material form.
Because of the elements.
Yeah, it's material. Objects of the material world.
Uh-huh.
So you meditate on the Asvata tree, that's a material tree. Meditate on Mount Meru, it's a material mountain. Yeah.
It has a different meaning, honoring and glorifying. In Sanskrit, it has a different version. Kirti.
Honoring, glorifying, similar. Of course, similar. Glorifying obviously is a verbal. Honoring may not necessarily be verbal, but it's giving respect at least.
Sanskrit, we have only one, Kirti. Huh? Kirti means glorify.
Yeah.
Sanskrit.
Yeah. So it's a verbal usually, verbal glorification.
Deal with material things in a proper way, how can he develop a good relationship with Krishna? One is even failing in a good relationship with materialistic life, then how can he relate with Krishna nicely? There's one version of it. People say that.
Well, we don't depend upon, bhakti does not depend upon having nice relationships in the material world, obviously. We say nice relationships would depend upon material qualifications, including gunas. And the more sattva you have, I suppose, the better relationships you could have. But that does not create bhakti or we can say it's favorable to bhakti. If your material relationships are peaceful, then you can do your bhakti better. And if they're not peaceful, then you cannot do your bhakti so peaceful way. But there's no dependence of bhakti upon material dealings or relationships. That may be a sign that you have anartas, that's all. And of course, anartas are not favorable for bhakti. But it's not just the less anartas we have produces bhakti either. It could produce jnana or anything else as well. So, definitely to have anartas is not favorable for bhakti, but the process of bhakti will also destroy all the anartas eventually.
We lose the regulation, like we can't just go on the road and tell I'm a spiritualist, I don't follow the traffic rules. We have to even keep that.
Well, according to qualification, if you're qualified, then you give up everything. So even in the Varnashram system, when you're sannyasi, then you don't follow anything. You wander around like a madman or whatever. Paramahamsa sannyasi, he just wanders around. He doesn't give any regard for anybody. But most people are not qualified for that. Therefore, they follow more and more rules. But when you get to Vanaprastha stage again, you more or less give up most obligations to the material world. No responsibility for family. No responsibility for relationships with other people. And you live in a solitary place someplace and, you know, begin worshiping the Lord. If you're not qualified for that, then you follow the rules of Grihastha Ashram.
Stop reading such verses. Sometimes one is not qualified. He may imitate like this and just create problems
with
the society.
He'll fall back to a lower level if it's just imitation.
People have a spiritual responsibility. We may talk about giving up material responsibility. When somebody in Vanaprastha or Sannyas, we may say that they don't have any material responsibilities, but they do have spiritual responsibilities.
Yeah. They're giving up material responsibilities in order to practice spiritual life. That's the whole goal. They can dedicate themselves to spiritual life, whereas in Grihastha Ashram, there are too much distraction.
That is for their own self. How they will be obligated to the society? Are they compelled to give up, help others in coming up spiritually? Because entire ISKCON is based upon that.
Varnashramically, no. They wouldn't. Yeah? Because that's not a preaching movement, basically. It's not the sannyasis or preachers in the Varnashram system. Okay? They're renouncers. They avoid the world. But then, of course, some may be merciful. Like Sukadev goes to the house of somebody and he gives them blessings or something like that. But they're not obliged to it by any means. Huh? As far as Vaishnavas are concerned, we think that's why we have a different view of sannyas or whatever. The whole system is a little different for Vaishnavas.
Since we are a preaching movement, we have to talk to materialistic, rich people and politicians. So association may differ. Like, but Babaji Sannyasi, what I'm saying, that you're wondering, you can be associated with the Lord directly. As a preacher, he has to associate with worldly-minded people, and they may get contaminated.
Yeah.
So the strength of
that's not favorable for sannyas as such.
Huh?
Yeah, but we see when he took sannyas, then he just remained in Puri, isolated himself. Yeah, and the other people were the preachers, like Nityananda.
He refused to meet Pratapradra also. Like.
Yeah. There's some restriction there.
Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare
The Kindle edition of the book, we can visit Amazon website for your country. And sign in with your account. We can search the book by typing the title of the book or type H.H. Bhanuswami in the search bar to get the complete list of Maharaj's publications. By clicking H.H. Bhanuswami, we can see the entire library. Let's select a book, say Gopal Champu. On the right hand side, we will find a drop down box with the title Deliver To. Click on it to select your device. Click Buy Now and proceed with your login details and complete the payment process. Some of the books are free with Kindle Unlimited. We can get them by clicking here. To get the paperback edition, please click here. To get Kindle app, please visit the Google Play Store and install it. Open the Kindle app. Click on Start Reading. And then, let's get started. If the search box is not there, click Next till you find the search box.
We can search the book by typing the title of book or type H.H. Bhanuswami in the search bar to get the complete list of Maharaj's publications. By clicking on See More, we can get the entire library. Select the book. You can also check the sample by clicking here. Buy now and enjoy reading. We finally proceed to the payment option. Hare Krishna.